ladies and nerds, welcome back to the Nerdcast for another, well, another episode. See, I've already messed it up in the first line, but we're here at Tallgrass Film Festival.
Fail.
Thank you.
Epic fail.
Thank you. Typically, we have a guest, and I'll explain to you that typically I get made fun of a lot. Usually at my own doing, though, because I usually mess up stuff royally. And then we typically make fun of Erin, who is here today, for her distaste of good movies and good actors.
Right.
Bob, he's the movie guy, so
yes.
Introduce yourself. And then Adam kind of covers a little bit of everything.
Howdy.
Tyler's not with us, but as I said, we do have a special guest today.
He's still living.
We're thinking of him. Where are we?
Oh,
that's
Tyler.
An important distinction, actually.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So, Ethan Minsker, I said it right. So I'm going to let him actually introduce what he does and what he is. But he does have a film here at Tallgrass Film Festival, and he's joining us. So thank you so much for being on our podcast. You're our first guest of the season.
Thank you.
Albeit we're only on episode 4, but of the new season, but it's still a special privilege. So
you don't have to tell people that.
You don't have to tell. Well, our
would Laura have been a special guest?
No.
Yeah, she's
Laura's
special
Adam's
guest.
Wife. She doesn't care.
She's special though. We
so,
love her.
So you have a movie here. Can you tell us a little bit about that first?
All right. I mean, first let me introduce myself.
Okay. Yeah. Actually,
I'm Ethan Minsker. I'm a professional hair model by day.
Okay.
by night, I make films and fanzines and books. I'm part of a group called the Antagonist Art Movement, where we create venues, bring artists together, and try to make new forms of art. My film is self-medicated, a film about art, because there's 20 other self-medicated, so I have to distinct that. and that's about artists struggling with their depression by making art.
Okay.
Cover street art, gallery art, all the kind of dirty stuff about making art.
And it's a documentary.
It's a documentary.
Okay. And you said it filmed pretty well here.
I think it did pretty well. I had a lot of old people show up, and there was a lot of cursing in the film, so I felt a little uncomfortable about that until I realized, like, the age group of that, they probably, in the 60s and 70s, did more horrible stuff than I could ever imagine. Somebody said, probably not here, and I'm like, there was a lot of cocaine and stuff like that then. So, anyway, yeah, the screening went well, and then afterwards we had a new project where I, you know, trying to raise money for it. So a bunch of these, like the old ladies came and gave me $20 bills. And it was just like having your grandma give you birthday money. And I hugged almost every one of them. I was going to cry. I'm like, this is awesome.
I need to put a movie in a film festival and tell them I got a project coming up. See if I can get the old ladies to bring me some money. So I don't know. That would be good. But
don't
that's
you
good.
Always have another project coming up?
That's true. Yes. We do. We always have projects going.
Never endings.
Kickstart for Pro Nerd.
That's oh, I've been there and filled that. So anyway, but awesome. So yeah, great that you had the movie here. As you mentioned, you do a number of other things. We do have a couple of your books that actually just right behind your head right now. So that Erin has already started reading one.
They're mine.
Okay, and she's claiming them. Although I think Adam is going to fight
that
for them.
Bums me out, actually.
well, you know the thing about books is once you read them, the pages don't evaporate.
So you could
that's good. That's
you could theoretically pass it on, and I would love other people to read it.
This book
I
might self destruct.
Yeah, Erin. Gosh.
So we've been chatting with Ethan considerably this week, and quite a bit last night. There was some awesome filmmaker karaoke going on. A is for Alex, his filmmaker Alex, and I referenced the movie because I feel terrible. I don't know his last name.
Or.
Right now. What is it?
Or,
okay. Owning some Cypress Hill last night on karaoke, for sure. We had a
Indeed.
Number of, was it Blaine, another great filmmaker, was, we'll just say he was having a good time, but he did
Iggy,
some good job on karaoke.
Why are you being so modest? You owned it as...
I had two lines as Wyclef.
Awesome.
One time.
You pulled it off well.
I witnessed that.
Okay.
Yeah, he did that pretty good.
And people around were just, wow, he's dancing so great.
Well, the best part is when you started levitating over the crowd.
Okay.
And everybody was trying to stroke your belly as you floated over your head.
It was a new trick, so it did all right. I'll have to pull it. Once I perfect it, it'll work better, but...
I mean, I'm just, you know, explaining because I know the listeners out there want to see the video.
You know, people are going to be expecting that everywhere we go now.
No, that's right. Mm-hmm. I actually, you mentioned that, but I do have a tendency, especially when karaoke is going on, to get up on a table or something and elevate myself and sing Journey's Don't Stop Believing. So
I wish you did that last night. I would have really
He was pretty
liked
tame
that.
By his own standards last night.
I was going to say, it sometimes gets a little wild, but.
You didn't even seem that drunk. Wait, not that you would be drinking.
Not that it'd be
a lot.
Our moms listen to this podcast, so we don't drink. It's obviously.
No.
Can I say something
just water
to your mother then? Would it be inappropriate if I said something to your mother?
No, actually, because she probably doesn't listen
to
this.
Her name's Julie.
She doesn't know how to work technology at all.
Julie, I made sure all your kids stayed away from the lactose stuff. I did a really good job with that.
I do want to say well done, Tallgrass Film Festival, because they had for many reasons, which we'll get to that, but specifically for their Studio 54 party last night that featured
crazy
pixie sticks on all the tables. Great reference there for the Studio 54.
Didn't realize that. Honestly, I thought she was getting the pixie sticks from her own
No.
thing. No, she automatically thought that was so weird.
They put them out so they had whiskey sours and cocaine on all the tables.
I thought that was so weird that you had that.
That you just run around with pixie sticks.
I didn't see anybody else with the pixie.
They had the giant ones too.
Everybody was walking around with big old giant ones.
No,
the
two young filmmakers, the two what's his name, the 16-year-old
Max and Jackson.
Yeah, they were rocking the pixie sticks too, mainly because they couldn't get the alcohol, but they were like
right. The 16-year-old.
I saw grown-ups. I saw grown-ups.
Right. She's going to stand by that statement. I saw the grown-ups.
Okay, I was hanging out with their mom the whole time.
Do you have a problem with pixie sticks? They're delicious.
Can I say to the readers that she's up in my face with her fist?
she's threatening. He's
sugary,
being held at gunpoint right now.
Tasty, the blue kind.
So obviously, because we haven't had the chance, because they showed it all the way over at the Art Center scene, what obviously would be the best movie here, Self-Medicated, and the story
obviously
about art. What is the best movie we've all seen so far? We'll let our guests start. Have you caught any movies?
I've caught a few movies. I like, The Living was pretty cool.
That was the Stubbornly Independent Award winner, so they show it in the Saturday Night Gala, which was then followed by the before-mentioned Studio 54 party, The Living, so that was many good things about it last night.
There was a few people that were upset about, I don't want to give away the ending, so I can't even say that. That would be rude. So a few people are upset about the ending. I can't even say anything
does
about it because I can't explain
just ask,
it to the
does
audience.
Does it follow theme of like every other movie, Bob? Like, is the ending depressing? Just like, it seems like every movie at this
pretty
festival
much
has been
pretty much
fairly depressing.
I second Bob. It's not happy ending.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a lot of happy endings here in this
But that's
this
what
festival
people were complaining about. And I thought, like,
it's life.
What are you looking for?
Yeah.
If it's a happy ending, then, you know, turn on the TV. You've seen that every night.
Yeah. Right.
Go watch a sitcom. All right, so Bob, would you agree The Living, or did you have another pick?
I really have to agree The Living. That was pretty powerful stuff. It was really good. Acting was incredible. The story and the direction. It was a really good film. And I guess with winning the Stubbornly Independent Award, I guess it actually gets to play at an AMC theater.
Yeah, for one night.
Night or 1 week?
I think they said one night, but okay. I'm hoping that means one night with a good turnout would mean like a longer extension
and potentially a good deal.
I think so. I mean, it's a movie definitely to look out for.
Okay.
I would equate it to Fargo. There was
exactly
a lot of
or Blood Simple. I think was what somebody brought up.
So
well, they said
in,
one of the guys was
in lines with the Coen brothers. Then seems
definitely
like. So
definitely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And I really need to check this out.
Yeah.
Me and Bob could have a review show of movies.
There we go. Let's I've seen it.
Sign
so,
him up,
Adam. Besides Yojimbo,
Half Brother.
All right.
I actually really really liked it. And I think I found the one movie that wasn't depressing.
I found it.
Oh, you
April
had one
Alex
too. Okay, yeah.
And then
okay.
It's my understanding too. Gone Doggy Gone wasn't depressing.
That. It was funny.
So yeah, see, I think it had a fun ending or so. So there was a couple not horribly depressing.
Gone Doggy is funny throughout from the very beginning to the end.
Okay. So see,
yeah, so
not all depressing.
Half Brother, good story about a youngish man. So someone right in our age group, late 20s, early 30s. Kind of living life takes place in New York and kind of all the things that happened to him. I enjoyed it. I could see it as one of those movies that a lot of people probably don't enjoy. Doesn't have a lot of resolution, I guess. So it tells the story and it gets to a place where
you're ready for the conflict to be resolved.
Right, but it's more... But, I mean, conflict doesn't resolve like that.
That's what I'm saying. So
in the real world, right? So it's just like, hey, here's the story. We're going to tell the story of this couple of days for this guy as, you know, things start to go a little bit crazy, which they tend to do all at the same time for people. So I thought it was just a really good telling of a nice little story. It was good.
That was, it seemed last year Tallgrass had a theme. I can't remember it, though, because it's been a year, and I don't even remember what I did last week. But it feels like the theme might be that, like, this is life. It's not going to all just resolve with happy bows.
Most of the movies I saw did not have a clear resolution.
Okay.
I don't know. It's real big in, like, realism.
Yeah. So they must all be, like, I don't know if they say, okay, hey, we're going to kind of stick to a theme, which, I mean, besides the obvious Western theme they had, or if right. all of them just spend so much time together watching movies that they just, it's kind of like when women's period cycles start to go together. Like, it's, I guess
I
they're going to.
Like, I think that's kind of a trend in films, though, right now.
Yeah.
Partially. Because at the other festivals, films I were seeing didn't have a lot of resolution as far as for the viewer.
That might be true, especially on the, let's say, independent front, but also the not Transformers Michael Bay front, the non-summer blockbuster action movies, because the Zach Braff's movie that got funded on Kickstarter was that big controversy thing. It had that kind of effect.
What was the controversy on that?
For
the viewer.
Okay, so Zach Braff, which we backed it too, but he was, because he was the first, I guess, star or person of that caliber to raise that much money to fund a film.
Right.
When they felt like he had the money, or second of all, the studio was willing to back him.
Right, that he could get the money.
The studio was happy to do it, but he would lose certain parts of creative control. They wanted him to film digitally. They wanted him to film in Vancouver, and it was set in L.A. He wanted to film in L.A., and they wanted to pick certain actors, aspects of it. And, of course, he had to have, like, Donald Faison in there for at least a scene, you know? So he had to get his people in there. So he went and got it funded. It's skyrocketing success, which then led, of course, to the Veronica Mars one and then a couple others.
Right.
And so it's become this thing of where he started this trend to where that was supposed to be reserved for these, for independent artists, for people, because
folks who couldn't get the money other way.
I was a beta tester for Kickstarter.
Okay.
And now I'm like, it's too, like, so now it's like when I do a project and it's like Kickstarter, automatically it's like, so now I'm trying to switch to Indiegogo.
There you go.
And Chris Adler out there, one of the guys from Kickstarter, I'm going to say I'm sorry. You're already rich, so I don't feel that bad.
It was a great idea.
A friend of ours. So.
I highly doubt he's listening. He's not one of our three listeners, because we aforementioned it's our mothers that do. So, but no,
your mothers sit around in a gaggle listening, laughing, and they're like, not in a good way.
No, they're like, oh, that son of yours, that son of yours. All right, Aaron, what was your favorite movie?
Well, I watched this really great movie last night. No, wait. I had nightmares because of that movie. It was horrible. Okay. No,
I guess
I'm not
you haven't really seen a lot.
The movie was horrible. It was The Ladies of the House. Definitely not my type of movie, because it did give me bad dreams. And I didn't even watch the whole thing because it was so scary.
But you had more to say about that. Can you clarify? What were the
issues? You're allowed to say that it's a bad movie, because bad movie.
Okay, so
I didn't see it.
The premise is that there's these strippers who live in a house together, and they, like, lure men in and kill them and eat them.
All sounds terrific.
So, but
no, it sounds fantastic. And best, hold on. It's better than that. I got to make sure you get the rest of the premise there, because of the four women, one of them just moved in. She doesn't understand the concept. Two of them have this rockabilly style going and are totally lesbian for each other. Another win on the plot point there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was an excuse to have some hardcore.
I know. Yeah. Hey, you know, so you go into the movie expecting a bit of comedic over the top horror with over sexualizing things, obviously, and stuff like that. So you're expecting not a bad movie, but you're expecting a B movie. All right.
Okay.
I mean, and everybody hates sex and violence.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Nobody looks for that.
No, I mean, that was fine.
But people do appreciate good acting and good filmmaking.
There you go.
And that might have been.
So that's what you were saying. So tell us about that.
The sex was fine. You know, watching the strippers at the beginning was fine. My issue was.
We're going to cut that out and keep that as a loop for other things.
Right. Whenever she starts talking bad about Robert Redford, we'll just splice in the sex was fine. The strippers were fine.
Nobody wants to see Robert Redford at this age having sex or stripping. Sorry.
He was the natural, man. He was the natural. All right. So go ahead.
Lame movie,
go ahead. We keep.
Okay, so where was I going with that again?
I don't know.
What
I don't know.
Was the actual problem?
I completely tuned you out because you said The Natural was kind of a lame movie right there. So I'm sorry that we're on this other thing, but it's The Natural.
Okay, no, in The Ladies of the House, it's hard because the conflict doesn't really get, like, you're not really sure what's going to happen. It was, like, teasing the whole time. Like, 35 minutes in before you're like, okay, they really are going to kill these people. They locked all the men in the house and kept them in to kill them one at a time, like serial killer style. And it was creepy.
The acting was pretty bad. I watched part of it as well. I know Bob was in there for a little bit.
Snuck in.
The men folk were real bad. The ladies
The ladies did. I mean, they were okay. The ladies were okay. But the guys men were
like,
awful.
I feel like they were the director's friends. Like,
yeah. They all went out the night before. Hey, you want to do a movie? Sure.
And then filmed it in one night.
Pretty much. Yeah. I said, I stood in the back of the auditorium and I watched Erin just run up and out of there.
I was a little sick.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
So we won't go too much into us bailing on movies, though.
Oh,
but
can I share my dream, though?
I don't know.
I got kept in the house. I was, like, locked in the house, and I kept trying to...
Were you under the bed when the lesbian sex was happening?
I mean...
you're not setting this up very well. So she sleeps on the very top loft here, only in a very thin thing. There's a lot of air blowing in. There's birds chirping in the background. And then what was
it? Well, no, there's
Adam
the rooster
and I are
out
down
there
here
crowing.
Going,
don't
are you
that.
Hearing that?
It was horrible. All right. Scary. They came after
me. I would say, Erin, if that... gave you nightmares, I would really hate to see what happens if you see a really scary movie.
I don't
want
that. For me, that movie was, for lack of a better word, crap.
Did you ever see The Entity?
I don't watch scary movies.
She doesn't.
No, she can't.
Like
you can't even describe them to her.
She won't watch trailers. She won't watch the trailers with us.
But you'll watch Walking Dead, won't you?
Yeah, but that's not scary.
She mutes the zombie parts.
It's just the zombie parts.
Oh, zombie parts. I'm going to look away.
That's right.
I squint my eyes. I don't want to be subjected to that violence.
So for Halloween, the only thing that you'll watch is Hocus Pocus.
I don't watch that movie.
Scary, scared of that movie?
There are three witches in that movie, you guys.
Even Casper the Friendly Ghost is a dead child. That's
That one's pretty creepy.
That is.
I know what you need. We need to watch The Exorcist.
Yes.
no. Oh,
sorry,
there goes our one F bomb for the show.
Well, Tyler's not even.
All right,
I lived in Georgetown, so the Exorcist steps. Were
yeah, right there.
Oh gosh, no thank you.
Did you have to walk? Did you have to walk past it? Were there ever like foggy nights where you were just like, "I'm not going this way"?
No, we used to run up and down it.
Oh, you're kind of like I'm
actually
dancing
had a friend
on the
who was a punk rock guy that climbed the wall next to it and then couldn't come down. And we had to call the fire.
Tempting
department.
You're up there tempting the devil.
Yeah,
are punk rock people basically like cats? Like,
do they smell like cat pee? Is that what you're saying?
they smell like cat pee. They get trapped in trees.
I'm not going to curse.
See, they get stuck up in high places and
need the fire department to help them down.
Are pretty much they're unfriendly and what is it, harmful to the environment. There was a recent study that showed that cats are actually what was it? They're
it's
selfish.
Not true. That part's actually
cats are selfish. Unapologetic, like how this whole thing's and then harmful to the environment. And it's like, why do people own cats is what the study basically concluded. It's like they deserve it.
But I mean, the same thing could be said of dogs, and we love dogs.
Well, pets, so. I know, I'm just saying it's a funny study because people love
the
animals.
Same thing could be said about husbands and wives.
I was about to say, me and Bob are going to have a review show. I agree with Bob.
No comment there. My favorite movie was probably, I don't know if I can decide. The more I think about it, leaving the movies, The Salvation so far has been my favorite, which shows today. We're still on Sunday, so if y'all have a chance, I don't know when it shows, but it's the Danish Western with Mads Mikkelsen, Ava Green, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Fantastic movie. However, not like I said, there's no happy endings there. And then, but the more I think about it, the more I'm in love with Mood Indigo. And Mood Indigo was... what I expected for the first two thirds, and then the last third was a completely shift and kind of, and I think that's what's held me off a little bit, but it was a well-made movie, so I don't know. And it was a French movie, but I don't know, that might be my favorite. I'll go with The Salvation.
It's a French
now.
Movie as if like that's a detractor from it. It's
really.
French. Right.
Iggy's not really a fan of the French anything.
It's true. The fact that it's in consideration is a big step forward.
What have the French done to you? They helped us fight the British.
You eat French fries.
Yeah, and
you
what have they done since then?
Basket of them. what
have you done for me lately?
They helped us in plenty of wars. They let us fly over their airspace to bomb everybody.
They gave us
Gerard Depardieu.
No, he left.
Oh, that's right. He's Russian now.
Yeah, the taxes were more better for him in Russia.
They gave us the best cheese in the world. saying.
Yes, except Velveeta? They also sued the U.S. Velveeta? To make sure we took off all the French names for Jesus just right. this year. So
see, they're right there. He's already.
I don't even know about that.
Yeah, because all their, you know, the French local cheeses are mm-hmm. like really specifically.
So like
named
Camembert,
for the region.
Like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're
it
not.
Can't be
you're
called
not
Camembert.
To, from what I understand.
Now they're laughing cow.
Well, that's
or maybe that was the Italians.
That's it, possibly the Italians, because it was the. I know there was that case with wine and stuff like that, because the wines would carry over the Italian names over here, because it
yeah,
was
it
a
was,
style wine
it
like
was
that.
With the cheeses, though, I know. It was
so they must
like
have done the same with cheeses, because the same thing with the cheeses you're mentioning. It's not just Italy, but France, all those countries, actually, a lot of that is named after the region. Like,
well, Tennessee this, bourbon and all that.
Yeah, so.
Mm. Yeah.
Perfect. So, a number of great movies, though. I think those are definitely our favorites, but you could tell everybody was kind of scrolling through the Rolodex in their head that there was mm-hmm. a number of fantastic films. And then we did mention Yojimbo showed on 35mm. Adam
but
and
that
Bob.
That movie's been out for a fairly long time.
But it's, you get a chance to see it in 35mm.
You can plug those movies.
54 years.
You can plug Kurosawa anytime.
Anytime
he does not need your plugging.
He does not
need well,
I think
care.
I think he made it.
Yeah, anytime you can see one of those movies in 35mm, though. I highly recommend people to get out and find a theater that shows 35mm still, because there's something about it. Even, I mean, the print for Yojimbo that they had could have been better. But, I mean, it's probably
but I love
40
that.
Or 45
I love that
years
scratchy,
old at least.
That scratchy
yeah,
look.
I mean, good grief.
You know, it doesn't have to be crystal clear. I mean, just the... But I kind of... I sat there, and I think I told you, I said, God, I wish I wouldn't have been here last year for Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see Pulp Fiction awesome. In a theater when it first came out, but in that theater would have been amazing.
I was there, Bob. It was awesome. You totally missed it.
You
out.
Were there with Bob when it first
no,
came
no, no.
out
Pulp
and you
Fiction.
Saw it in theater?
Last year.
Oh.
Orpheum.
Okay.
It was awesome.
Did you have nightmares with that movie?
There's there is like a murder death kill scene in that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Demolition Man on Thursday night, so I had the murder death kill.
Code 5, what is that? MDK, murder death kill.
Am I allowed to mention some films that were not in the festival that
yeah.
are coming out
please.
Soon
please
by other
do.
Filmmakers
do
that are
please
amazing? There's a film, 20 Years of Madness, which is about a group of Detroit public access guys in the 90s making a film.
Okay.
And they go back and they make another film on VHS. Another public access episode, and this is a great film. I saw the private link of it, and that'll be out in the festivals probably coming up this year.
All right.
And it's amazing to watch these guys 20 years ago doing these amazing videos that nobody knew about because they're in Detroit, and now 20 years later, you watch them, they're all like having mental health issues and drug problems.
Because they're in Detroit.
Film.
It's because they're in Detroit.
Yeah, they're still living there, yeah. except the one guy, Jerry White Jr., who gets out.
We just lost our Detroit audience, by the way.
No, I'm saying this is a great...
No, I was talking about him.
No,
right.
I am our Detroit audience. That's my dad, actually, because he's the one who probably does listen to the podcast.
And then another film, You Are Not Listening, The Never Record Story.
Okay, yeah.
Have you heard about this?
I actually have heard about it.
Jason Walsh and Ted Reeder.
Mm-hmm.
That one had a lot of coverage in the BBC radio and all that stuff. And it's all about this guy who just travels the world recording bands in a fictional record store. Every record, it's two records. One goes to the band and one goes to his private archive. And it's just really filled with great music. And I think that's Ireland. Ireland. It's in Dublin that they did the whole movie about.
I don't know why I've heard of it, but I have.
It's got a lot of coverage. It was in the CBGB's Film Fest and a few others.
That's probably why mm-hmm. with some of that, some of the press stuff we get sent over. Yeah, I have heard of that one. The first one I hadn't heard of, but it'll be definitely something interesting to check out. A couple good movies.
The first one is way more in the post-production
stuff. Post-production stuff. So a number of films being talked about this weekend that are kind of at that phase, too, that we get to look forward to next year. I think and a couple others mentioned in interviews that were done this week. I'm referencing Aaron, who did the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Erin's looking at. Her laser vision is burning hole through the floor.
She can't get. She doesn't have her cell phone to play Peggle right now, so she's imagining it in her head. She's fantasizing about running off with Robert Redford. That's what's happening right now.
Well, they're both blonde and attractive. She's definitely younger than Robert Redford.
I have a face for radio. That's why I'm on the podcast. Are you
on the podcast?
No.
Come
that's,
on.
That's the
reason. Everybody in here
that's
is so
my
handsome.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the rest of us are the reason we only do the podcast stuff and you do the video interviews. There's a reason for that.
I mean, the viewers do know everybody in this room is at least 8 feet tall, right?
8 feet tall.
Furry white hair.
While we have the microphones propped up in front of us while we're all benching about 450, 500 pounds right now. Mm-hmm. We're in the workout room, so everybody knows. Our studio is now a combo workout room studio because we bought a studio for the weekend in Wichita because we have that kind of money, you know.
And I really did want to mention your velour pink suit is awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Matching furry hat is great.
Aaron was trying to get the crushed red or the crushed velvet onto. Are you pulling a cigarette out in the studio here? Come on, seriously?
No.
Cigarettes are not good for children.
It's a metaphor.
Are you calling me a children?
I mean your viewers.
Can I speak about the interviews that I did?
Sure. Let's talk about it.
So the best interview I did was with this guy named Ethan, and it was really exciting and intense. And
I hear he's very attractive.
I hear the same thing.
Extremely. So I really, really liked doing the interviews with, especially, Woody. Did you meet Woody?
I'm not
did
sure.
Did you guys all meet her? She's...
I met her.
An older woman, and...
She's a Wichita woman.
So colorful.
Volunteers at the Orpheum. Does help some here. She's a huge movie buff. She's herself, like her tag that she has is sponsor. Like, I don't know if she gives enough or if she works through something.
I think she's
they
just
let her into the festivals
going.
Now. Yeah. She's gone since the year one. And last year she said she saw 21 movies. And year she was working and she was talking about it. She's just a huge, huge movie buff. Like, that's what she does.
Yeah. She was a lot. I could have talked to her all day.
She was cool. Yeah.
Was
oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys interview the lady from the Life and Dirty Movies?
No, what's that?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't really plug it, but it's like she is like an older woman who was like, did pornos with her husband, and then it's a documentary about their life and
dirty
movies.
Did she make
it? She's the star of it.
Yeah. Right.
But she was here, very charming.
But
woman.
I didn't know if, like, you know, somebody discovered this.
Oh, no,
I think her husband is like the producer of the porn. I mean, they work together.
Do they have more porn in?
Probably.
I believe the husband's dead, though, a while, like 40 years.
Would it be inappropriate to say that?
So, yeah.
Their new porn probably wouldn't be that good.
Today, yeah, so it is showing today. I was thinking about going to see that.
What?
You should see it, Bob.
You should see it, yeah.
You should cut that part out.
Whenever you get a chance to see a movie about pornography, and you're like, my work makes me go.
Let me tell you about Ladies of the House.
I tell you, the movie, I mean... Hearing a lot of talk at the parties past couple of nights, I think the film of the festival everybody's really talking about is The David Dance.
Yeah.
Oh. A lot of people are really just talking that movie up.
Aaron, we'll be interviewing him today. I know you're seeing it at this afternoon.
Single
sister, gay brother, like, help out each other.
Yeah,
she adopts
she's
a child.
She's trying to adopt a child.
And he's going to help her out kind of thing. Drama.
And I've just heard
people... Wait, that's someone that's filmed in New York?
It was a film? I don't know. He's here.
I think so.
The guy with the glasses, dark hair.
Mm-hmm.
You should totally interview him. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah. Well, she'll be interviewing him today.
Okay. You should have brought him in for the podcast.
He was at breakfast this morning.
Was he?
I saw him at breakfast. Okay. I didn't want to say hi because he seemed like he was really intent on eating his breakfast. And I didn't want to bother him.
Did he sing last night?
It bothered me when I was eating my breakfast.
Well, you offered to let us all sit on the floor together, so I didn't know.
I said I wanted to sit on someone's lap, but I didn't get no one's lap.
No.
There you go.
Careful.
I
will sit on that lap. It looks
the guy from
weird? Your lap looks delicious. Don't say that.
See, you guys think I went too far with the dead porno stuff.
There was somebody yesterday who was eating. They had a banana. I'm like, can I hold your banana? And I'm like, that just sounds
maybe
weird.
Maybe not. No, but that gentleman, and I'm sorry right now, his name escapes me. But yeah, he was a really nice guy.
Don.
Movie is Don. Okay.
Don Shimmy. Okay. I don't know how to say his last name.
But he's done a great job of promoting the movie here, too. Yeah. So that also helps as well. But yeah.
What did he do to promote it? Just so I know the magic.
So you know the magic. I've been hit up multiple times by him, and he's handing out the cards for it and all that kind of stuff, and it's got the show times on it. It's pretty cool because he has like a postcard, and then it's just a sticker on the back that has the show times for this festival. So I'm sure he just prints tons of them, and then when
you're
they go to the festival,
me magic.
Yeah. Not well. This is magic.
I was doing the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I need some more insight on what
but
the tricks are.
But if we're talking about like stuff. Publicity, I thought the Gone Dog Gone.
They did a good job.
They did
too.
That. Yeah,
doing
that was
the
brilliant.
Lost puppy, lost dog
flyers
all over with the little numbers cut out. So you can tear it off and it ended up be like the show times and everything like that.
They also had a thing of gum that was supposed to be dog gum, and it had the gone doggy thing on it. So
oh, really?
Yeah, it was a really cool like package type thing they did.
Those are probably all like picked up, confiscated by people before we even had
like the little bottles of vodka.
Oh, okay. Oh, the little bottles of vodka, yeah. From the Boot Hill people from Dodge City.
I love those Dodge City people.
Kind of speaking of all this stuff, stuff we've seen around and all that, I do, again, talk about how great Tallgrass Film Festival is. We've been here 2 years in a row now, and every time we leave, we're like, can we just do a film festival every weekend? We love you guys at the conventions, too, but the film festivals are fun.
Can I say something on that?
Yes.
So, as a filmmaker, and I've been making films since the 90s or whatever, I've been to a fair amount of film festivals. And typically, you find when you talk to, the staff of it, it's usually a high turnover rate. You know, because somebody's like, I've done the festival, I don't have to do it next year. I talk to a lot of the staff here, and they're a lot of people who've been here from the very first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, I haven't found anyone who's, just been the 1 year. And that's pretty amazing statement from a film festival, that you have such a dedicated group of people that show up year after year. That's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It speaks for it, and that Midwest friendly thing too as well. But all the way the filmmakers are treated, everybody else is treated that same way. And I think that kind of lends to it of what you're saying, where it just makes everybody want to keep coming back, because it's not, you need to go take care of this while we're just, treating this group of people higher. It's, hey, everybody's welcome. Everybody's great. And then it's also like you're going home to visit grandma or something, because you end up in the VIP lounge. It's like, hey, eat. Oh, by the way, eat. And it's like, okay. So, excessive amounts of food always help bring people back too, I'm sure.
Alcohol helps.
that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes.
The food, I think I got two or three food babies going on in here. Not just one. I'm having triplets right now, so.
Gross. What? That's gross.
They're food babies. What are we? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, but food babies come poop babies.
Yeah. I wasn't going to say it.
I was saying that one too, so there we go.
Me and Bob's true. Review show.
Yeah. There you go. Ethan
we
and Bob
just bring
show.
People in front of me and Bob, and we'll review
there
them.
There we go.
As people.
I like this. This is a
Everyone
great pitch.
Gets two thumbs up from me.
Yeah. There you go.
The rest of you guys, you get two thumbs up.
I just want to leave
a little pregnant pause.
Let me get back on this bench press real quick so I can keep working. I need those.
I'm spotting you right now.
Is that what's going on? Well, I'm pretty sure you're
one
giving
finger.
Me three
I'm
thumbs
just
up.
One
then.
Finger helping spot it.
All right. So, a lot of great things going on. Tallgrass Film Festival is great. And we always hear from filmmakers who come that they're like, this is my first time in Wichita, and it's fantastic. Well, Mark Covino's even like, and I may even like move to get, and we're like, well, before you get too excited about Kansas, it is fun and all, and this is nice, but this isn't like every day. You don't get to just show up to a VIP lounge and be fed every day.
I think that is like, as a filmmaker, you apply to a lot of places, and it's really like the festivals that you're trying to get to, which then the location ends up being wild places. So like over this year, I've been going to a lot of cities like Victoria, Texas, which I've never been to before for the film exchange films. And it's really kind of an interesting sort of thing as somebody from New York City in the Lower East Side. It's a definitely a different mindset.
Victoria, Texas.
But
little
it's
bit.
Good.
Little
like
bit.
It opens up, I have a better understanding of what it means to be in these places. But I wouldn't say this is a small town.
No.
This is like one of the bigger cities of Kansas.
Well, yeah, but
yes,
that's not saying
much. Right.
There's less people in the state of Kansas than there is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So.
Well, I'd say there's, 400,000 here in Wichita?
I think so. Yeah.
So in Manhattan, which is one of the five boroughs, mm-hmm. there's 10 million.
Just in the single borough.
Just in the one borough. Yep. So everybody in this whole town probably just lives in the immediate...
This is like your neighbors, right?
Yeah.
This is like, hey, all these people could fit in the apartment complex across the street from you, is what you're saying.
I got to say, the other night I was walking from one venue to the other, and I was walking one of the film staff, and it was like five or six blocks, and I'm like, we haven't seen one person. And she's like, yeah, it's night. I'm like, no, you don't get it. Like in New York,
you're like,
I can't ever go outside.
You've already
of my
been
door
mugged
without
three times.
Being like, yeah, that's I'm going to go outside and just chill out a second. And then there's like eight people sitting there with me watching me.
I got a question for you. Okay.
Yeah. You can't hear you from me.
Well, thank you.
When you're talking
this question is really built up.
Yeah. I was going to say. Now, so what was your draw to Tallgrass? I mean, did you submit your film just to everywhere and see who grabbed it? Or?
No. There's a listing in Filmmaker Magazine for the top 50 festivals worth your buck, right? So and each one has a write-up, and I went down the list in the festivals that applied to my film.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of them. At the same time, my film was playing unfortunately, the very days I was here in the Santa Fe Independent Film Festival, which is another great one to be in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they, because of that, they said this year they had like 4 times the amount of submissions for just this year because of
1,400. Oh, so is that why they had so many?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've had to forward that to all the filmmaker guys I work with, and I'm like, this is the list you should work off of. Because, you know, my whole budget for my film is like $2,000. So entering mm-hmm. film festivals that are generally between $100 and $50, you know, and you got to enter 50 of them, that's more, way more than my budget is just mm-hmm. entering festivals. So you want to get it for the bang of your buck, and this right. is a great place. It's already paid off. They flew me here, put me in a hotel. And
there you go.
You know. I got to sit on Aaron's lap for an hour
and watch terrible horror movies with it. Or only half of them.
I feel so bad for that guy.
No, there's people who are absolutely going to love that movie.
No, there was a good 30 people in there, and
it was interesting though. I talked to the filmmaker, and you know, from New York City, he's a New York City mm-hmm. filmmaker, but he's an uptown guy. Now, in you know, there's a great division between downtown and uptown. Like, it's a complete mm-hmm. other world. But he's making a downtown film.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. That is a downtown filmmaker film. And I listed, like, there's, like, you know, Katrina Del Mar. And then there's a whole bunch of people that actually do movies, you know, lesbian filmmakers who make films exactly like this. And I said to him, he's just like, and I'm like, do you not watch films like the films you're making? You're not a fan of the genre you're making? You know, which I was like, that was shocking.
That's
to me.
Interesting.
I'm like, oh man, that's
well, just adds that, to my
that kind of explains
that,
that kind of explains I think a lot right there. Is yeah. Mm-hmm. That,
and I'm not trying to sound bad, but it's like I watch a lot of art films. You know, I am involved in the community that I work. I'm embedded in it, but it's weird that like he's in a city where this happens. You know, and he's part of the Lincoln Film Society, which is part of I think might be the problem. He needs to be part of the Angelica. You know, or I mean, sorry, the Anthology Film Archives, which is a center hub for that.
So,
you know,
good point, because I think, and it goes back to anything, especially like you said, being involved in so many different artistic things, any art, which filmmaking, of course, is one of them, you're going to get better results when it's something you're really passionate about.
Exactly.
Something
well,
you're
I mean,
willing.
I hope if he hears this, I would hope he researches it, because there's a wealth of people that could help him with mm. what he's doing.
I think mm-hmm. he's passionate about the sex.
Everybody is.
Aren't we all?
I mean, I respect that. I would probably like his film.
We're not
I mean,
complaining about
as,
aspects
it.
Of his movie. Certain aspects of his movie, there's nothing to complain about. Maybe certain scenes didn't last long
see,
enough.
But I'm getting the impression, Aaron, you just don't like that genre. So
yeah,
before
yeah,
I had
no.
this, I started with the thing like, oh, maybe the movie's just bad. But the more I'm getting, you just don't like those type of movies.
I think part of it, too, is it's hard because something you're not supposed to do here when you go to things like this, and as I've written a couple of my reviews out already, I've had to make sure I don't compare it to the other movies you see at that festival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard not
why,
to do that.
Why is that not?
You want to judge it for what it is itself. You don't want to judge it because,
you
know, you're talking about great examples. I saw Salvation and Dark Valley, two foreign Western films. I don't want to compare. Dark Valley is a good movie, but if I compare it to Salvation, it's nowhere as good. So it kind of, you know, discredits that. And the other thing too is we do know some filmmakers who submitted to here, who were rejected, who have a really good film. And we say that as unbiased as possible because we didn't really become friends with them till after the film. We had the chance to see it and then connect right. with them and stuff. So it wasn't like, oh, this is our buds making a movie. We're biased about it. And so when you go, you hear like, 1,400 was submitted, only this many made it in, and then you go see something like that, you're kind of like, this is what got in instead of this
right.
good movie.
I mean, there's a lot of other factors that go into that,
yeah.
though, as
yeah.
somebody
oh,
who's
definitely.
Been on both sides of the festival thing, you know, mm. and the first factor is who that film comes across.
Exactly.
I mean, that's mm. the number one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, as I've been a preliminary festival judge for the New York Festival, and in the room, and I would hope they hear this, because I was pretty annoyed by it. As somebody who submitted to it and was like a finalist of the year before and then got in as a preliminary judge,
mm-hmm.
is that I was literally in a room with, okay, two other filmmakers. Yeah, that's what you want to send to. Terrific. People who are passionate about film. And then a guy from UPS who was like some executive guy because they were a sponsor, and they send him over to do it, who's like, I'm not really into this stuff.
He's
like,
oh,
I wouldn't want you watching my
no
film.
Yeah.
Right.
As a filmmaker, you imagine the other person on this other side of receiving it is you,
mm.
like whether you admit it or not. the likelihood is that it can be any random guy. It could be the guy from UPS. I'm not sending my film to the UPS guy to review it.
Right.
And, but literally that happens.
The
Nothing about bad
not
about
saying that
UPS,
happens here at this festival.
Somebody who doesn't like movies.
Yeah. The no.
Well,
this
I'm not
is
saying
this
that
is great
because every screener I met is really passionate about film.
They are
right, yeah.
But the, it is divided. It is divided because when you have 1,400 films, you can't make all of them watch it. So it is this person watches this many, this group of people watches this many, and that could cause. And it was a great thing brought up when we were talking to the folks running Omaha Film Festival this past week, and they're in attendance and everything. And they had mentioned that it's when you get to those larger ones and you get more submissions, it's harder because right now he's like, we're small enough that I can make all of them, every judge watch every film.
Right.
And there's the judging group for, you know, your feature films and judging group for documentary. So if every documentary is submitted, every one of these judges watches every one of them. He said, but when you get to that size, it's you can't do that anymore.
And also take it that every filmmaker I talk to have been all rejected from festivals.
Oh, yeah.
Other ones are here, and myself included.
Like, right.
I'm working off a list of 50. And the averages are, for any filmmaker, is that you enter 50 and hope you get into 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm, you know, five festivals I've gotten rejected from. Probably 8 or 9 so far, so I'm right on the. I'm doing better than what I thought.
Mm.
So, you know, it's just a matter of numbers.
It's
and
true.
Again, it has no bearing on your film.
That's,
you know, because somebody you watch is going to go like, I hate seeing films about art, and it's like, well, do you like art? No, I don't like art.
Don't
like, why are you watching my film? I tell people that I'm like, hey, are you like? I don't want to just say come to my film because if you're not into that art, you are not going to like my film. If you don't like street art and gallery art and fanzines and, you know, really passionate people trying to make art, you're not going to like my film if you just want to see, like, some love story or
comedy. But they'll love the lesbian cannibal.
Yeah, those, there are
right,
people
yeah.
who love
there are. And actually, one of the guys on the selection committee, he introduced the director in the film. And you could tell he had an excitement about it. He's like, he's created this crazy movie, I think is how he described it. So it was that thing to where he just wanted some, you know, some people love that outlandish horror over the top type thing. And
outlandish horror? Is that what you
horror.
Said?
Horror.
Well, there are some outlandish horrors.
Outlandish horror.
Some that people like that
like
stuff
a,
too.
A foreign Scandinavian stuff.
But,
film.
But yeah. The really bad thing is, like I said, I've seen that movie before.
But that's, you know, that's. At this point, we've had 100 plus great years of cinema. You're gonna see a lot of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I'll take a hey, I've seen this theme before in an independent film festival. Then, good Lord, Michael Bay is doing another Transformers right now.
This is the thing that independent. Why you want to see independent films is that they are by definition supposed to be trying to strive for something
originality.
Right.
That's it's all originality.
So that is
and
their only job. They don't have to have money, but they better make a different film.
And yeah. But those themes underneath them are going to always cross. And you can have three wildly different and fantastic movies that share a theme. Yeah. You know, there's and there's a lot here that have like we mentioned stuff like
there are themes and there's styles. I mean, like I said, the movie last night, The Living. I mean, it's very Coen Brothers and. But the lesbian vampire movie, it was
they're cannibals.
Well, whatever. Same thing. It was
we
me,
called
it
a
like,
vampire movie leading up to this because
yeah.
I feel like it said like vampires.
That's I thought it did too.
Maybe they turned into vampires by the end of the movie. Maybe we just
never
got
know.
To that.
You never
want to hear what Bob was.
But
sorry,
to
Bob.
Me, there was nothing, absolutely nothing original about it, story wise. Plot wise, direction wise, it was From Dusk Till Dawn.
Well, I was just trying to save face so this guy does listen to it. He doesn't completely crap all over our site, but
well,
Bob's going to drive the point home.
Well, Iggy, you are notorious for editing, so you know.
I haven't seen the
Bob
movie,
here.
So I can't say a thing, but you have to be honest for your own viewers.
Oh, yeah. We definitely are honest on something.
I'd like to say, if the viewers don't know, we're all floating in a hovering circle right now.
Speaking of being honest.
Speaking of honesty.
It's like one of those rooms where the air is pushing up and we're just floating up and down.
That'd be fun. You can hear it going. Well, now I'm actually, she really is rubbing my tummy. It's kind of weird. Don't know how I feel about that.
I'm still sitting on Aaron's lap. She's holding me dearly. She's nuzzling me.
Oh,
I'm cold. I mean, you do know I'm the size of a baby, right?
An 8-foot baby, as you previously described, right? Perfect. So with that, you know, you bring up good points. It does have an audience. Not everybody here has had the chance to see it. So, you know, Adam is probably of the group here, our big horror movie person. So maybe different aspect from him if he would have been in there.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely wrapped up in the Florida State game, though.
I was engaged.
So, you know, a number of great things. And then, of course, the Tallgrass Film Festival. We mentioned, you know, a couple negative things there. But there's so many positive things to say about the show. And we brought a lot of those up. But, yeah, it's a great, fun film festival. They treat the guests of every level fantastic.
I was gonna say, they are amazing.
The venues are beautiful. The historic venues, too, that are just fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like the Scottish Rite Center and the Orpheum Theater.
Oh, gorgeous.
Yeah, just fantastic buildings. But really good show here with a number of great movies, including Self-Medicated, a film about art.
That's the best movie.
See, I'm yeah. plugging you. I'm plugging
Academy
you.
Qualifying movie.
So, unfortunately, we only have time for about an hour, but Ethan has been telling us stories, some fantastic stories, but a number of them. Some of them might play out in the books that are being read, it sounds like. It's a little bit of fiction mixed with a little bit of real life. I don't know.
To Kill a Mockingbird, what was your...
Oh, yeah. I think the writing reminds me of Harper Lee a little bit, like so Kill a Mockingbird.
See, when you were saying before, like referencing other things, I'll totally take that. I don't know if that's a compliment. She's probably going home like, I really hate that book. Too bad you didn't know that.
No, it's a really, really good story.
Well, she's not a huge fan of the book, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well,
no. She doesn't like the story for To Kill a Mockingbird, not the writing style.
No, the writing style, it is classic. It's Harper Lee. I mean, he's praised for that.
I'll tell you afterwards what my issue is with that. But I absolutely
love with my book or
off the record with To Kill a Mockingbird, because we can't slam To Kill a Mockingbird because then we'll be shut down.
No, can we just stop recording for just a second?
No, we'll go. We're gonna stop recording here.
I don't think Harper Lee is coming after you.
Yeah, probably not.
She's like, I wrote one book. The microphone drops. the scene.
Basically, what she did. Yeah.
Yeah. Truman Capote can cry about it. He'll never beat her. She's alive. She's not dead anymore. So. Right.
So far, I've read 40 pages, which, I mean, typically...
Of To Kill a Mockingbird?
No, yeah.
To Rich Boy Cries for Mama, available on iTunes and Amazon as ebook and paper book.
Get the paper book. It's really good. I like to say that you should be at least 50 pages in before you decide you don't like a book. And
so she's like, I got 10 more pages.
No, I totally agree with that.
The first line is, I want to read it. Like, I want to go grab the book and read it. Do you remember the first line?
No, I haven't read it.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff people quote me back from my books and I'm like,
yeah, sure.
I haven't read those books in years.
In the very first line and it hooked me.
Wow.
Whoa.
Is that appropriate to say that's what she said?
Hook them with the first line.
And
beat me to that one.
But I don't want to stop reading it. And I haven't.
She's looking for more sperm.
Oh.
More sperm. She said there was sperm in the first line, and that's what hooked her.
As a writer, I have to say that when you're writing a book, you have the vision of the attractive girl like reading your book and liking it, and you're like, that's the dream. And normally it's like... somebody's like really messed up, crazy, like, you know, whatever.
Normally it's like the rest of us here.
It's the person that shows up to the book signing dressed as you. Like,
yeah.
It looks just like you. You're like, oh.
They're going to do a cosplay.
They're like, I've been following you around for the past month so I can get your style. Like,
that's the fantasy for the writer.
Well, that's a very big compliment. So. No, but it's a good book. You should probably all... check it out.
Can you pick them up online?
It's on Amazon and iTunes. You think I was kidding about that? EthanHMinsker.com.
I might have tuned it out. I don't know.
Book,
paper book.
Hey, look, it was karaoke night last night. I don't know what's going on this morning.
Give it a wonderful review.
There you go. And Project Nerd will give it a review too. I can't speak whether it'll be.
I mean, you could totally hate it in the next like one more page.
10 pages,
next.
Right?
Yeah, she's got 10 more pages.
F F F F. Fell asleep on the keyboard for like a week. Print.
The editor missed chapter 12, which was my sleeping phase.
I got to say, though, because of that book, it is, I mean, we were talking about the fiction thing. It is based, it's really a true story, but I had to fictionalize it to prevent from people being upset. And there is a guy in D.C. who's
identities
pretty upset
have been changed
that
to protect.
I have to now void a whole section of the country because I don't want him to, like, kill me. You'll read the book. It's the guy. It's one of the two guys that's the most scary guy in the book.
Oh, shite.
And you'll be like, I hope this guy never reads the book. It's like, yeah, he read the book.
Oh, shit.
He's not happy about it.
Is he a book reader type guy?
Noam Chomsky, I guess, is his, like, friend. He is a
no,
his neighbor or whatever.
Geez.
But, yeah, he's a reader, apparently.
Okay. Then,
but
I don't know.
At the
we'll send him a book.
At the end of our conversation, he was recommending me books to read, and was very
okay
about it. I just feel if I ran into him personally, he'd probably be this flash of like you know, remembering and just knock me out. Because as kids, I saw him do that a lot.
So, you're like, let's keep these conversations online.
We literally went to a club where there was huge bouncers, and he knocked the first one out because the guy wouldn't let him in. Huge guy.
Did he get in?
No, we left.
Yeah, no,
I'm just curious.
Usually the cops are coming.
Right. That's how you get into a club.
And you understand, it's one of those friends where it's like, I don't want to really be friends, but I'm also terrified. Like, you call up and we're like, we're going out. I'm like, oh, man, I can't say no because
he'll kill me?
Right, he's going to think I don't like him.
And then he's going to come hit me.
Right. He's probably, you know, and now I'm like realizing, like, who knows? He probably listens to this too. So.
he's at the table with our moms listening to him. And while our moms are over there like, oh, that's my son. And then he's over there like, no, that's Ethan. I'm going to get him.
I was just asked to do a reading.
Is that my Batman voice?
The DC Ethan. Library.
Where I'm is like, she, I can't Ethan? Do that. The Batman. So it's Batman who is this. I'd fear him too, actually. So.
Batman?
Yeah. Well, she said it was my Batman voice of the.
Batman's not scary.
Batman could hang out at the table with my mom.
All right. What's your take on the new Batman? Let's hear it.
Which, Batfleck?
Yeah.
I have major respect for him now that he's wearing the Batfleck shirt around.
Have you seen
that picture?
He's improved as an actor. Significant.
You know, Aaron, I get this real thing on that. All of your choices on the movies are how attractive you are to
It's starting to sound like that this weekend, for sure.
You're not picking that up?
No, I really hated Ben Affleck for a long time because I hated him. He was a bad actor. I was like,
he was never really bad of an actor. He just got made fun of.
I differ with that. I mean, he's been a bad actor consistently. I haven't seen him.
He's just been in bad movies.
Ben, I'm so sorry. Our friendship will be over.
Yeah.
Well, my issue with him,
not a good actor.
It sounds like Jennifer ruined most of his friendships already anyways, is what it was. So.
Well, and my issue with Ben Affleck was that he was introduced in trailers as starring Academy Award winner Ben Affleck. Like he won an Academy Award for acting, not for writing.
I still always love that. Was it Family Guy episode?
Well, I mean, there's Academy Award winner Robert Redford, and they still use that.
Yeah. Well,
Robert Redford.
I mean, I don't like
what happened to Sundance. I mean, actually, I shouldn't say that. I just submitted to them.
Edit.
All right. No, I'm going to bring it there. What is that? It's not an independent film festival, man, when you have giant movies competing with little guys.
Yeah.
No.
I despise that from all of you. You have to take off the independent film festival and make it big studio production film festival.
Right.
Well, another thing, if you really want to get, we can go down that road to the complaints too of like, how many independent movies like are independently funded now? Because it's you have like, is it there's movie studios that have entire independent chapters of their studios that fund
Universal
movies.
Was not independent.
No,
from my view.
Or what
I
is there?
A film for $2,000.
Sony independent features and stuff like that. Sony, like that big company that owns half the world, like that's competing with GE for the electronics everywhere.
But, it's like what with Wes Anderson, like you know when you have a. Yeah, poor you. You have a $20 million budget as opposed to $100 million.
That's the other thing. I'm making this independent movie off $20 million.
lead actors are taking pay cuts and getting $1 million.
How dare you slag Mr. Anderson?
No, that's her favorite film.
Oh, my gosh.
I have Royal Tenenbaums. Oh.
He's your favorite, too? I love him.
Obviously. I have the Criterion Collection with me, and I, on the plane, listen to the director's commentary. Probably for the 40th time.
No, my point is that he's just, you know, he's a big deal now, and he has a lot of money to do what he does.
Which
I have a Wes Anderson story.
All right, we do need to hear this before we leave.
Meet him, I might,
we don't have time for it.
I know. Do you have time for it? Take like maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, this is how we close it. We'll close it with
listen.
This. Yes, story time, guys. Story time.
Let me get my cocoa.
The fire has come up. The lights have dimmed. There's stars in the sky.
Setting the stage.
Okay, so in our group, there's a guy, a gentleman named Arturo Vega, right? He was the manager of Ramones, for the Ramones. He did the T-shirt. He passed away a year ago. He was a part of our group. He's in a bunch of our films. Anyway, he because of the Ramones connection, right, a lot of Ramones films are used in Wes Anderson films, right? Mm-hmm. Ramones songs.
Okay, yeah.
They're very hard to get. So, you know, like, there's two camps in the Ramones. two sides of the families. They continuously fight. It's really almost impossible to get music for any film. Anyway, so another guy in our group, he had just moved to New York City, and I introduced Arturo to him. And to preface this, you know, Arturo is, like, gay, right? Okay, so that's part of the story. And so I introduced them, and Arturo was buying my friend's artwork. This guy, Ted, who's from the film, did the Never Records movie. He's going to be so mad that I tell this story. Perfect, because I want him to hear it.
We're going to email him.
But it's a great story.
He's
so
sitting with your mom, too.
Yeah, he's at the table.
So Arturo, like, was like, you know, I want to take you to this event. And he takes him to go see Life Aquatic. All right.
Oh, man.
And you got to understand, I'm like, why couldn't I be Arturo's date? Like, I'm right. Like, it's not the movie. It's after the movie, they have the dinner, and Wes Anderson is there, and all of these guys at a dinner thing.
God.
And I'm like, so now I'm jealous. I'm like, you know, whatever.
A little bit. I'm jealous, and we weren't even close to the chance to have that opportunity
right.
to go with him.
So, and you understand, like, the group of us, we're all like family. Right? Mm-hmm. But the whole time I'm teasing Ted, like, oh, man, you're going on a date with Arturo. You're going to have to give him a... I don't know what I'm saying here. Like a hand job.
He called it an old-fashioned.
We call it
an
old-fashioned.
You guys didn't see the hand motion. He did right. it. He did, and I'm doing the hand motion, yeah. too. We're all doing the hand motion.
Old-fashioned.
So I was like, the whole time you're going to have to do this.
While rubbing
like,
my belly.
And then, so my friend, who didn't know him that well yet, like they had just become friends, like was in like 6 months.
So
like,
he was actually worried about
it. He started getting paranoid. He's like, oh, man. Like, and I was teasing because I know Arturo. That's not his style.
He wants more than an old-fashioned.
Yeah. No. Arturo's thing is like, he said this. I mean, well, he'll say it in the story, but so Ted goes and then he has this conversation, a side conversation. He goes, you know, Arturo, like, is this like a date? Like, this is after, obviously, the dinner. He's like, I want to make it clear because he got the dinner and he got to see the movie. And he's like, you know, I'm not like, you know, I'm not gay. And he's like, and so Arturo looks at me and goes, Ted, I know you're, he's a Mexican. I know you're not gay, right? That's a horrible Mexican accent.
It's really
like,
bad.
The men I, you know, see, I fall in love with. You know, like, these are men I love. And he's like, and he goes, so you don't have to worry about it. And he's like, okay, you know, I feel better. And he goes, Arturo says, you know, but why are you interested? No, and then it's like, fine. But, yeah, I would have totally been the date. I would have gave him the hand job. No problem. I'm like, awesome, dude. I don't care. I mean, he's like my father.
You're
I mean,
shaking.
That's the only weird part. He's like, was like,
you got one
like
hand
our,
over
our
there.
Dad.
You're shaking Wes Anderson's hand with yeah. the other one. Like it's
yeah. you got to I would have done it under the table. Like, this is awesome. Like, I'm that big a fan of Wes Anderson.
So that is a perfect close, though. So, Ethan, thank you so much for joining us on this special Tallgrass episode. We did appreciate not just this, but the many other stories and conversations this weekend. Of course, it's plugged like crazy. We'll share it in the post, too, so the links will be right there, and then we can also add our Amazon affiliate link to it, so we can maybe get a little off the top, too.
Thank you.
But Tallgrass Film Festival has been great. You will see, well, by the time this hits the airs, you'll have seen a number of reviews already, but still many to come. And then, of course, the video interviews with Aaron, and then I believe Adam sat down for an audio interview as well. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up. And of course, like every other week, we let you know, please hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear from us. If you have questions, comments, feedback, or you want to tell Ethan you want to beat him up for some of those stories or anything, or his books.
I apologize to everybody.
Or the hand job.
Or the hand. Yeah. Please feel free to leave it in our comments, of course, on the site.
I apologize,
Podbean.
Ted, for telling that story. Ted Reader, I'm sorry. Please don't be mad. You are like my brother.
We're going to email him the link, too, so he can know about it. So, but perfect. All right. Well, once again, thank you. But that's going to wrap it up from Tallgrass Film Festival in Wichita. We will catch you next week.